Everybody, it's Tony Robbins.
Hey guys, I'm Audrina Patrick.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
You're on the Hollywood Raw podcast.
You're watching Hollywood Raw.
You're listening to and watching Hollywood Raw.
This is the Hollywood Raw podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glynn. The podcast humanizing Hollywood. From celebrities to media moguls, even paparazzi and bodyguards have come to break news, break their silence, or just have a great conversation on Hollywood Raw. If they're on Hollywood Raw, there's a reason. From Page Six to TMZ, Daily Mail, and People Magazine, everyone is talking about the Hollywood Raw podcast with Dax Holt and Adam Glynn.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw Podcast, Raw Rundown, where we give you the top 10 stories of the week. In the middle of the week, we usually talk to each other. We have an interview. We catch up with someone. This past week, we caught up with a fan favorite, one of our friends, Dumois, from the popular celebrity gossip account. My name is Adam Glynn. Over there is Dax Holt. We are two entertainment news journalists who've been in this industry for a long, long time. We always try to say we pull back the curtain of Hollywood. We reveal the fourth wall, which pisses a lot of publicists off because we tell it how it is and we tell them about the deep, dark secrets that are going on. But today is actually our Raw Rundown. We give you the top 10 stories of the week. How do we pick the top 10 stories? Dax, how do we pick the top 10 stories?
We put them all in a bucket and just pick them out after we put them on a piece of paper.
Yeah, pretty much. What's this one? Macaulay Culkin? Okay, let's do a story about him. We picked the top 10 stories on data, on Google searches, and lastly, small, but just what we think is kind of is really trending. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I can't complain. Dude, this week was a very long week, so I'm excited to be done with it. My daughter's actually been off at, Outdoor Ed. So she's been away all week, which is really weird just not to have her around the house, and you can't like talk to them. There's no communication. You don't get photos. Like, there is nothing. So it's very weird to have her gone. So I'm ready for her to come back today.
Yeah. No. She's in public school, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of the public school.
Yeah, dude. They go and it's literally a week away and up in the mountains at Lake Arrowhead area, and they just have a good time, like hang out with their friends. They have a whole schedule. The teachers are there with them. It's the non-communication that is like weird adjustment. You're used to like calling your kid and being like, hey, how's your day going? You know, if they're staying somewhere and you can't ask any questions. Are you putting sunscreen on? Are you making sure to wear a hat? Like nothing. So
yeah, that's an instance. I wish I had a program like that. That's pretty cool. Do you have allergies? Are your allergies kicking in right now?
Yeah, but I take a daily allergy pill, so I try to keep under control.
So do you take it all year, or do you take it like you really?
No, I end up taking it basically all year because if it's not one thing, it's another. And so it's a daily, just keep my nose clear.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty insane. My allergies are kicking my ass. I'm at the point now in my life, Dex, where I sneeze so hard, like my back cracks. That's what happened the other day. I sneeze so hard, my back cracked. It's like, oh my God, my neck. It's like, it's becoming so like,
have you noticed? Do you sneeze louder than you used to? Because my kids look at me now like, dude, what's happening? And I don't know. Like, I've become my dad now. I sneeze so goddamn loud. And I think that maybe it's just something that happens when you get older. You just start sneezing louder and everything.
That's so funny. The older that you get, the louder you have to sneeze. It's like, no, it's the easiest way to let it out. When you're younger, you're like, I can kind of hold it in. Now you're like, no, I just got to let it all out of my system. Dax, you know what I've been watching lately? Just because I've always been obsessed with the story because I just find it fascinating. It's a big part of American history. A little bit of entertainment news, because I know we kind of briefly covered it last week when it broke, is O.J. Simpson. And so I've been watching O.J. Simpson. The old,
like the old TV show that they did on it?
No. I got to look that one up, if I could find out what network that one is playing on. I'm watching the ESPN documentary they did on, I think it's like a 5-episode series on O.J. Simpson. And crazy enough, I had this thing. Remember Pogs, Dex?
Yeah, of course.
So I had this O.J. Simpson in the Slammer Pogs. It was like I had it when I was a kid. And about a month ago, I looked it up on eBay because I look random things up on eBay, and I bought it. I actually bought it for like $8. And then all of a sudden, a month later, he dies. So, yeah. I mean, it maybe might be worth more, but I just wanted to have it.
I was over at my in-laws, and my brother-in-law was like, hey, I actually have OJ's autograph. So back like when he was in elementary school, you know, I don't know if you guys did this, but we had to like write letters to celebrities or entertainers, athletes, whatever, to see who would write back. He wrote OJ back before everything happened. This is like back when OJ was just an athlete and he was starting to be in movies.
Yeah.
And he fully went and found it in the attic at his mom's house. And it's a picture of OJ Simpson playing football. And it says to David, best wishes, OJ Simpson. And it's literally, what is this? OJ Simpson, class of 1985. Pro Football Hall of Fame, and it's just like an autograph. I'm like, dude, that's actually worth some money.
Yeah, no.
When people die, their autograph value skyrockets because you can never get another autograph.
Yeah. I have a little hookup to get some OJ Simpson stuff. I've never bought an autograph. Maybe when I was a kid, I would buy like a signed baseball or something like that. But
so funny, you're like OJ, looking for it. I'm telling him, I'm like, get rid of it.
Yeah. I don't know. For something
like that, Adam, he's a weirdo.
Dude, I thought it just an insane thing. Yeah, some people do collect like serial killer memorabilia, like a Charles Manson or some sort of crazy person type thing. I don't do that, but I just found the OJ Simpson story. It was just a big part of my – I remember growing up and just being fascinated with the whole story. And then you watch all the documentaries behind it. It's just a very unique thing in American culture. All right, on to the Raw Rundown where we give you the top 10 stories a week. But before we get to that, we read reviews. Dax, do you have a review ready for us?
I do. I thought we were just going to talk about our lives all day. Damn it, dude.
Yeah. All right. That
this,
episode.
This
yeah.
one is from TM Schulte, 5 stars, titled Favorite Podcast. All right. Always entertaining and fun to listen to. Dax and Adam have a great connection, and it comes through in the podcast. I look forward to Wednesdays and Fridays podcast. Subscribe to Hollywood Raw. You won't be disappointed. Well, we can't promise you won't be disappointed, but definitely subscribe for sure, for sure, for sure. Thank you,
yeah.
TM.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the review. And if you want to leave a review, just go to like the podcast app. And then when you go to the podcast app, put in Holly Raw, go to the bottom, and you'll see a place where you can leave 5 stars and say a few kind words. Once you do that, we'll actually give you a shout out on the air. It's the best thing to do to support this podcast. Now let's start.
Before we get into it, I did want to read a couple of things off the private Facebook group off the record because okay. I see there were some irritated people from Wednesday's episode. I don't know if you saw this.
I did not, but please tell me.
So Casey wrote on there. She said, listen, I'm kind of irritated hearing Du Mois talk about Vanderpump people today. If you've watched the show from the beginning and follow them outside the show, you know none of this was for the show. Jax has been treating Brittany like crap for years. Laugh out loud. She just got her own place. I guess I just get annoyed when people don't even follow it or watch it and just think that it's all fake and contrived. You can have an opinion when you watch the show and follow it. Some of it, yes, I'm not that naive, but Scandoval was definitely real and there are even legal proceedings involved. Laugh out loud. I don't think they would go that far for the reality show. Well, I will say people will go that far for a reality show.
This is their business. This is their career.
But I will say I do think that everyone is looking back saying how good this has been for the show and their careers. You know what I'm saying? Like, real or fake, at the end of the day, this has been the best thing that has ever happened to Vanderpump Rules. It's been the best thing to ever happen to their individual careers. I mean, they are some of the most in-demand reality stars in Hollywood right now. So I would say I could see other reality stars simply pulling that move because now they know it works.
I don't disagree.
Even if other people are faking it and, you know, the Scandoval wasn't faked, I'm just saying I could see other people doing it now. And then Kelly also wrote on there. She said, I'm late listening to yesterday's show, but I had to pause and come here because everyone on the Bravo world is talking about the Valley. tons of people are watching it, is so good, way better than the VPR this season. And Jax isn't even the part that's good. It's the other people on the show, and Kristen Doty, of course. So people love that show. They are loving the Valley right now.
Good for them. I just haven't heard too many people cover it in the news. I don't watch the show personally, but you know, I know people in the Bravo community love it. I'm glad people like it. We'll get a season two. I mean, it got picked up for season two. I think it'll probably will get a season two. It does make sense.
I mean, all right. Many people are watching it, then yes.
Any other thing you want to read from the private Facebook group?
And I don't even remember what we said in that episode. I was just reading. I'm reading the comments where Kelly said, I was shocked that Dax said people in the Bravo world aren't talking about the Valley. Did I say that?
It might have been me. But I still stand by that. I you know, and I go by, you know, obviously there's going to be some fans, people talking about the show, but it's not getting that much coverage in the news besides the Jax situation, which kind of simmered down a little bit. Mm. But it seems like there is some audience that people love it. I don't think Bravo will cut the strings from it right away because of the Jax situation. They want to – it is a good storyline that the media cares about. So – you know, I'm not hating. Whatever. Do what you got to do. It's show business. Who cares? It's how you make money. And Dax, I'm with you. These people do whatever they need to do to kind of keep their name relevant. And it's part of the business, especially in that world.
Yeah. Adam and I are actually, he cheated on me. So
I did.
If that brings us some ratings, then.
Oh, boy. You know I'll be cheating on you. No, okay. I just want to start like a Maury Povich episode with you. All right. Let's get to the Raw rundown, starting with number 10.
All right. Number 10, Katie Couric claiming that her former Today co-anchor Bryant Gumbel had an incredibly sexist attitude about her maternity leave. So this was kind of a big shocker, but she went on Bill Maher's podcast, Club Random, and they were talking. And I guess, you know, Bill Maher is actually good friends with Bryant Gumbel and described her as just like a guy's guy, a really great guy. And basically Couric said that he was prickly, but I mean, what a talent. He's such a seamless broadcaster, eloquent. When that countdown would happen, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, he would just hit it perfect. And then she got into a story about how when she took her maternity leave, I guess he was upset about it and would kind of give her shit endlessly about taking a month or two off while she was having a baby, and just said, you know, like he wasn't impressed, and I guess would even joke like, could you just go to a field, pop that baby out, and then get back to work? And she goes, look, I know he was joking, but I think at the end of the day, she's saying that there was something underneath it, that there was some reality behind it. So I think that she still has a good relationship with him. So I don't think she was trying to like totally badmouth him. I think she was just trying to be honest about how he maybe viewed her maternity leave.
I've never met Bryant Gumbel, but like Katie said, you know, when you say a story like that, I think she says he was kidding. However, there is a little bit of animosity there towards Bryant Gumbel. Like she hasn't forgot about how he made her feel. I never met Bryant Gumbel. I did like the inside. He had that HBO show about sports, Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. I did like that show. Katie Couric. I mean, this is just off topic, but kind of about Katie Couric. I was a fan of Katie Couric, and I always loved interviewing people like her. Like people who've interviewed other people, I just thought were very fascinating and interesting because I want to hear about their experiences and sort of like the thought process of doing those type of big interviews that she's done. And I was very disappointed when I met her. She was just never really that kind to me. I'll be honest with you.
She's not like a warm person?
No, it was like the total opposite what you see on TV. Like on TV, you thought she'd be very like charming. On TV, she was very charming and bubbly and fun and also very intelligent. And in person, it was like the exact opposite. Not saying she was an intelligent person, but she wasn't like kind to me at all. And I was just like, I came with her, like I thought I had the energy coming to her. And again, I'm trying to interview her on the street with a camera in my hand. So it's a little bit more ambush style. However, I felt like the fan of me, the love of, or the admiration, how much I admire came out of my admiration came out of my pores. Like it oozed out of me. Like you could see like when I was trying to talk to her, it came from a good place. But she was never that nice to me, and I never – just sucked. It was a bummer.
You need a hug, bro?
I need a hug. I reached out to her, by the way, about coming on the podcast, not her personally, but her team, and they just would not get back. I tried multiple emails because I thought she's got her own stuff that she's doing. I thought maybe she want to talk about it. And again, we're not trying to do anything too crazy. I mean, Bill Maher probably has more tougher questions than we would because he's just Bill Maher and he's able to get away with it. Ours is more of like not tough. It's more like interesting, unique questions, but she would, you know, they didn't respond. All right. That's my Katie Kirk roast of the day. Let's get to the number nine story, Dax.
Number nine story. This one's a little bit more serious. Going to shift gears here. But the Rust movie armoire, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, the woman that was in charge of, you know, the guns, all the stuff on set, has now been sentenced to 18 months behind bars. That was the maximum penalty for the prison in Santa Fe, New Mexico. She was in court on Monday. Basically for this, the sentencing, and this is all obviously in relation to the killing of the cinematographer, Helena Hutchinson. Well, the armoire was, am I saying armor, armor? I don't want to say armoire. She's a dresser.
Yeah.
She was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter last month. And so I think what really set this judge off, though, was the lack of remorse before being handed down the sentence. And the judge even mentioned, like, your attorney had to tell the court that you were remorseful. Not you, but your attorney, like, had to, we had to basically pull it out of you. And she really, this woman, Hannah, wants Alec Baldwin to go to jail as well. That's what she talked about on the telephone. I guess they pulled the telephone records from inside jail, you know, how you can call out. And the judge listened to a lot of these recordings and was like, this woman needs to go behind bars. Like, she thinks she has done nothing wrong. She's taking no accountability for the death of this woman. When in reality, if you are the armorer, you are the person handing a gun to the actor. And yes, it was loaded. Whether or not you thought it was loaded, you are the one in charge of that. You are the person who should have been checking to make sure there were no bullets in this gun. And you are not taking responsibility. You are blaming everyone else except yourself. And you need to take some responsibility and go to jail. So, yeah, and I guess now we've got...
So is this case over? Is this...
Alec Baldwin is still... He's got his sentencing coming up as well. Because remember, he was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter as well. So he'll stand trial in July. So this is not over yet.
Wow. I mean, there's going to be very interesting, very unique, very...
Will this movie ever come out, by the way?
Will people even watch this movie? Are they kind of like, is this movie scarred? Is this good for, I mean, I don't say it's a terrible situation. I don't want to say it's good for publicity, but does this publicize the movie? Are people more interested in the movie?
I just don't know. Like, what are they? Are they actually still filming it? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I can't believe Alec Baldwin is still involved in this story. I'm not an Alec Baldwin fan. I think we're both not. It's just a very
weird, I can go on the record and say
situation.
Have a strong, strong dislike for Alec Baldwin.
You know what? Even if I think a lot of people, maybe people who've been in the industry, have a strong dislike for him. So how is he able to kind of keep working? That's the crazy part about him. Like, who's out there is like, I'm a huge Alec Baldwin fan. But yeah, I mean, this girl's going away, and just this story is just crazy. I'm curious what's going to happen with Alec Baldwin. Is he going to – what – yeah. What do you think happens there with Alec Baldwin, Dax?
I would say what really locked this woman up was her lack of remorse. I do feel like Alec Baldwin has had remorse. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think that he feels horrible about the situation. Again, and this is coming from someone who doesn't like Alec Baldwin at all and would love to take the opportunity to shit all over Alec Baldwin, but I think it has really messed with his mind, this whole situation. You don't want to be the person who pulled the trigger that killed someone. You know what I'm saying? And I think that is truly the case with him. And I think it's the first time that I've actually, like, honestly felt bad for someone like him, because you're an actor on set. You're handed a gun. Like, why would you ever think that that gun is going to actually go off. Like, you're like, oh, this is a prop. And you're in that moment focused on your scene. You're focused on your acting. I mean, I have a hard time blaming him, even though there is still culpability with this. That's why he was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter. I guess he went off script, aimed the gun. So there's other factors here that are in play. And I obviously wasn't sitting in court listening to all the evidence. So other people found him responsible, but I would put more blame on the armorer at the end of the day.
What do you think about like the people on set who are just watched that whole thing? Like you're a couple feet from watching that happen. And when that actually happens, I mean, I would throw up. I'd be like, what? Like, I can't believe I just saw that.
Like, that's got to be insane in shock, to see in person. You don't know what's going on. You know, it's like probably chaos. Everyone's running around. It's wild.
Yeah. Dax, number eight.
Number eight is Time 100 released their 100 most influential people of 2024. The list has got a lot of people talking right now. There were some people that weren't included. There's people that were included that are just a little odd, I would say. And so I can go through some of the people that were on here in regards to the artist list. Dua Lipa made the list. 21 Savage made the list. Divine Joy Randolph made the list. Who else? Fantasia Barrino.
Before we even get to the list, it's amazing, Dax. Time 100 releases the 100 most influential people. They do this article every single year. And in the 100 most influential people, there's no influencers. It's bizarre. There's no influencers on this list. It's just so stupid. This list is so stupid. The whole thing is stupid. It's the one time a year they're trying to get people to read Time magazine. Magazines are a dead industry. They're not even magazines anymore. They should just call them catalogs. You and everyone tries to campaign to get their person in this issue. Every single publicist is like, hey, can you put my client in? It's so stupid.
You know what's funny about that is there is a lot of truth to that. Like, we can add a lot of big names to the most influential list of actors and actresses and singers. But at the end of the day, really, you're right. The influencers are the people that have the more influence than a lot of these people. Like, they put up a product and they're like, buy my Prime drink. And next thing you know, it's a $1 billion company. So, like, where's Logan Paul on this list? He's not on the list, but
where's Logan Paul? Where's Caitlin Clark? Where's Michael Rubin from Fanatics? Who's like, these are the people talk. It's insane how these people are not on the list. It's so stupid. Please do not support Time. I say that honestly. Like, it's just so smoke and mirrors, and it honestly makes me sick. How is Sydney Sweeney not on this list? We've been talking about her all year. This was the year Sydney Sweeney. It's
I see Kylie Minogue made the list, Elliot Page, Burner Boy, Michael J. Fox, Sofia Coppola. Hey, my business partner Mark Cuban made the list.
That's pretty cool. You know a guy, you're actually have a personal relationship. Your business partner is on that list.
There we go.
I'd be curious how much he cares about being on this list and if he believes in it.
I don't think he probably doesn't care at all. Here's one. Patrick Mahomes made the list, but did Travis make the list?
Again, insane. Incredible. Well,
I haven't read through every single
No, Travis Kelce is not on the list.
He is not on the list, which is...
He's not on the list.
I would say, arguably, he is more influential than Patrick Mahomes right now. Like, why wouldn't Travis have made the list?
It pains me to talk about these people.
Kelly Ripa is on there. Who else?
These publicists have a calendar all year. They have a calendar on their board saying, okay, these are when the submissions are by for this event. These are the submissions for the top 30 under 30. We need to put this person in for this thing by, you know, so they know all the issues, when they're going to be released, the events kind of like a year in advance to kind of get things like going. They know when the Met Gala is next year so they could kind of campaign or try to get their client in the Met Gala. And this is no different. This
Gavin Newsom made the list. What? Sorry.
Yeah.
I got it. Check out of this list.
I hate it. Fuck you, Time. Fuck you. And no, the separatists, I hate them so much, dude. They're going to have an event this week. And I covered this event twice in the past. in the last 3 years, they've denied me from covering this event on the red carpet. I'm like, guys, they're like, we don't have room. I'm like, I'm one person at the end of the carpet. Give me,
well, you're
I'm by myself at the end of the carpet. I don't think they're going to allow me in, and it's fine. I'll be the one campaigning outside, just being saying F you to every single person because it's all fake and phony. And I'm just sick of it, dude. It's just so gross. People see through it. These magazines aren't magazines. They're catalogs. They're trying to sell you on something. Dax, number seven.
Sydney Sweeney just getting roasted this week by one of the top Hollywood producers, Carol Baum, basically saying that she cannot act, she is not pretty, and her movie, Anyone But You, is quote-unquote unwatchable, which is shocking that anyone decided in the Hollywood sphere to go after Sydney Sweeney, because she sells tickets right now. And so basically, Baum was speaking with the New York Times, a film critic, Janet Massam, I think is how you say, before they were a screening of her 1988 film, Dead Ringers, and just got into the topic of Sydney Sweeney. She goes, listen, there's an actress who everyone loves now, Sydney Sweeney. I don't get Sydney Sweeney. I was watching on a plane Sydney Sweeney's movie, because I wanted to watch it, and that's obviously Anyone But You. I wanted to know who she was, why everyone's talking about her, and I watched this unwatchable movie. Sorry to people who love this movie, the romantic comedy where they hate each other. She goes on to say, you know, I said to my class, explain this girl to me. She's not pretty. She can't act. Why is she so hot? Because I guess she also teaches a class at USC, School of Cinematic Arts. She goes, no one had an answer, but then the question was asked, well, if you could get her to get your movie made because she was in it, would you do it? That's a good question, right? Like, if you don't like, you don't think someone is talented, but they can get your movie sold, would you still cast them? Would you, Adam? If you think they didn't have the talent.
Yeah. Listen, it's show business. So that's a big part of the industry, and it sucks, but that's at the end of the day, people want to make sure they're getting it. No one cares. I think the business is more important than the show, and people who are putting in money, unless there's endless amount of capital and they do not care, you know, the right producers, or they don't care about the return of their money. You got to do what's going to sell. So it depends on the people that are backing the project.
I just thought I was pretty shocked to see this woman, like, just go after Sydney. Like, I haven't really watched any of Sydney's movies, so I have a hard time saying that I can really comment on her acting. Have you watched any of her stuff?
I personally have not watched her. I didn't watch Euphoria. I didn't watch that movie that she did with Glenn Powell. However, I did watch her on SNL, and I did think she was very good on SNL. And I know it's a little bit different type of acting. It's more sketch kind of acting, but she was good on it. But she responded. She called the comments shameful. She felt unjustly disparaged. She basically talked to a representative, which means the representative actually gave the statement, not her, and said, how sad that a woman in the position to share her expertise and experience chooses instead to attack another woman. If that's what she learned in her decades in the industry and it feels appropriate to teach her students, that's shameful. To unjustly disparage a fellow female producer speaks volumes about Miss Baum's character.
Oh, wait, I'm seeing another article right here that's brand new. Carol Baum does dramatic U-turn over the Sydney Sweeney comments. Top Hollywood producer regrets attacking star's acting abilities and branding her not pretty after feeling the wrath of the actress's diehard fans. That's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
You poke the bear. This is the typical, like, when someone goes after, like, Taylor Swift. Like, you don't want to do that because her fans will come after you hardcore. She talked to TMZ saying that, Baum has confessed she wishes she had never made the remarks.
Yeah. It was probably not necessary. It's one of those it's one of those things you say to a friend, a trusted friend, that you don't make it public. And yeah. I get it, because I feel like we've all had conversations like this in the past, including Sydney has probably talked about it to a friend about another actor, actress, about their skills or looks. But it's hard to make that in a press or media conversation, because it's not going to.
She probably thought, like, oh, this is not like she made the comment at a screening. she probably hasn't got this much press ever in her life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
she
of course.
She said it, and it just, the right person heard it, the right pickup happened, and she was like, oh, shit.
I thought this was a little like school interview. I did not think this was going to go on Daily Mail. I am sorry. This sucks. Dax, number six, Victoria Beckham and David Beckham have a book about their sex scandals. What's this about?
Yeah, so there is Tom Bauer, who is an author, is writing a book about the Beckhams, and this is a tell-all book, apparently dishing on sex and scandals. The name of the book is The House of Beckham: Money, Sex, and Power. This is not something that they are involved in. It sounds like they are actually kind of upset about this book coming out. This book is said to, I guess, promises to throw loads of shade on the polished Beckham brand with alleged details of their marriage. And it's done by an investigative biographer, Tom Bauer, like I said. It drops in June, and it seems like the Beckhams have definitely gone out of their way to try to do something with this guy in regards to, I don't know if it's calm him down or retract stuff or whatever, but they did sit down for two lengthy chats with a senior member of his team, but Tom didn't meet with them personally, claiming that they'd end up turning him down. But I'm always surprised, like when you get a book like this about someone's life and you're revealing details, how do you not get sued? Like, how do you do a whole book about tarnishing their brand? Like, you're going out there just to tarnish their brand, right?
Yeah.
For money. At the end of the day, I think I like the Beckhams now, right now, more than I have ever liked them in the past. After watching their Netflix show, I felt like Victoria had this personality that I didn't really know about. They seem so happy and, like, good together. We've seen commercials with them. Like, they're really, like, probably at the peak of their brand, and now this book is about to drop, and it's so weird to me to, how do you profit off of these other people by just exposing shit? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how that works. I don't know the legality of, you know, where is the line where it crosses line, becomes defamation. And I really want to know that, because myself, I've been contemplating kind of creating a book about my experiences and stories, and it's not a hit piece by any means. I'm just kind of talking about my experiences, and I would love to kind of know about how they're able to do that. A story like this, obviously people are going to click on it because it's international, so I'm sure the book would do well. As far as it being truthful, I mean, that's for us to decide. I guess they're going to try to do their best of talking to sources, and they have to say that who these sources are or actually know what they're talking about. But the story is going to get, you know, if you're a publishing company and someone says they're going to write a book, this book will sell. You just better hope you have good lawyers in case the Beckhams fight back.
I would say the shadiest part to me is that they were willing to sit down and have two conversations with his team, but he didn't sit down and look them in the eye. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to write a really shitty book about these people and they're willing to sit down and you can't even look them in the eye to have that conversation. Like, to me, that's crappy.
Yeah. Again, another book I probably won't read, but I'll read the stories when they come out in the headlines, because that's what a book like this will do. Dax, number five.
Logan Paul and Nina Agdal, they are going to be parents. They announced that they are expecting, that she is pregnant. Obviously, don't know many more details than that. Don't know the sex of the baby. But they posted on Instagram this week a cute photo of them kissing. And he's holding up all the ultrasound photos of the baby inside her belly. But yeah, this is this story, obviously, because he is one of the top influencers in the world. That's not recognized by Time Magazine, but the rest of the world freaked out when they saw these photos go up, because he's obviously one of the biggest internet sensations. She's one of the biggest models on the planet. And, you know, they first started dating back in 2020 or 2022. And then he got down and he got down on one knee and engaged, proposed to her And I remember it was in like Lake Como, but that video he posted on his YouTube page and it got gazillions of views. Anyway, people just like them.
Yeah, I think they're great. Logan Paul is awesome. I think he really is. And a great athlete too. He's in the WWE wrestling. Do your kids love that Prime drink?
Oh my God, dude. Yes.
Like, I've never tried it,
It's weird how it's taken over like schools. Like my kids came home and they're like, hey, so-and-so had Prime. Can I get a Prime? And I had to realize that there's like two different Primes. One has like caffeine, one's like an energy drink, and one's more just a drink like Gatorade.
Yeah.
So had to get the right Prime. But yeah, my kids love it. I see it everywhere now. That thing has turned, I guess I was reading that their company, because it was, you know, it's KSI and Logan Paul that started the Prime brand. Well, I think it's exceeding $1.2 billion in annual sales this year. So it went from two dudes who fought each other to then like starting a brand to now it's raking in billions of dollars a year. Like this will outlast all of his YouTube money by far.
He's smart guy, works hard.
But didn't make the time list, by the way.
Crazy. It's just such bullshit. Fuck you, time
kid
again.
In school has Prime and yet he didn't make the list.
Insane. Dax, number four, a lot going on in the movie making industry.
There's a lot going on. Quentin Tarantino, though, scrapping plans for his final film. You know, he's always said that he's going to retire after his 10th film. And so the 10th one was supposed to be The Movie Critic. And Brad Pitt was set to star in it. And I guess the project has now, he's pulled the plug on it. It was reported in February that Brad would be the main name on it. And now Deadline reports that he simply had a change of mind and that the project will not move forward. I guess he had reportedly rewritten the script, which delayed the start of production. So and now it's just not happening altogether. I guess he said that he's gone back to the drawing board to try to figure out what his 10th and final movie will be, but it will not be The Movie Critic. So
can I say this? Are you a Quentin Tarantino fan?
I mean, I think he's got some good movies. I mean, I'm not like, oh, Quentin, I need to go. Like, I didn't go see, what was the Hollywood one with
Once
Brad
Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah, I didn't see it.
You never saw that movie?
I didn't see it. You know what scared me? The like 3.5 hours or whatever the hell it was. I was like, sorry, can't do it.
I thought that was one of the best movies in the last decade. I thought it was – that. Don't let that scare you. In fact, when I saw that movie in theaters, the first 40 minutes of that movie, Dax, I was just like, what am I watching? What is going on? And then after like an hour 15, I was like, oh, now I'm following what's going on. I thought it was so beautifully shot.
And then what happened after 4 hours and 75 minutes?
Then it gets even better, Dax. I just thought the movie was amazing and it was so beautifully shot. And Quentin Tarantino is one of the – like the few artists out there, the way he makes movies, I think is so creative, from the music to the coloring, to the style, to the script. It's such an interesting,
God,
unique perspective.
You love Quentin.
I think he's just a really great director and he makes great films. So I was, especially when you have Brad Pitt in a movie, Brad Pitt's the man. Brad Pitt is, he makes a movie great. You know, what was that movie, Bullet Train, that came out not too long ago? I mean, one of those movies where if they had anybody else in it, I would not watch it, not care. But when Brad Pitt's in it, you actually watch the movie and you're like, oh, this movie's actually great.
He is one of the best actors of all time.
He really is.
I didn't realize that you love Quentin so much.
I think he's just a really great director. I'm a big fan of his movies.
Do you love him enough that you'd let him suck your toes?
Probably. If he would give me a talking line in a movie, give me a few talking lines so I could get into the Screen Actors Guild, and then I'll let you suck my toes, Quinn. I won't smile. I'll have to blindfold myself. I might have to,
be super. All right, for people that don't know, famously toe sucker. He's got a foot fetish. Okay. Well, there's some other. Yeah. I was gonna say there's some other stuff going on in Hollywood when it comes to movies. I figure we should probably just bring up Pamela Anderson joining Liam Neeson in Paramount's new Naked Gun movie. I loved the Naked Gun movies back
so
in the day.
Good.
Like, so freaking funny. But Liam Neeson, and this is an interesting pairing. Like Liam Neeson and Pam Anderson, who would have thought they would be doing a movie together? But Pam, I feel like she's got some comedy chops there. She was in Scary Movie 3, the superhero movie. She's done some other stuff. Curious, you know, because she has now famously gone down the route of like no makeup. I'm curious what happens when you film a movie. Do you put the makeup on? Because that's been kind of her thing lately. Or do you not do the makeup? Like, what happens there?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I guess for making a movie, you have to have no, you know, she probably understands, hey, part of the film making part of it, you have to have makeup on. So I hope she kind of comes back from that. But I think Naked Gun is some of the funniest movies that people don't talk about enough. I mean, we talk about Mel Brooks projects, but Naked Gun goes down with the airplanes. O.J. Simpson was in Naked Gun. He was actually great in Naked Gun. But yeah, so good movie. So I'm excited for that. What else is going on in movie making news, Dax?
What else is going on? There was something else. Oh, Steven Spielberg going to be doing another UFO movie. And he's teaming up with one of the other writers from Jurassic Park. You know, obviously Steven Spielberg goes down as one of the biggest directors in UFO type alien history with
E.T.
with Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T., War of the Worlds. So he's got quite the collection, and it looks like we're going to be getting another one, which you know will be a hit. Everything Steven touches seems to turn to gold, so I think it'll be great.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, Steven Spielberg project. I mean, again, Steven Spielberg's one of those guys. I actually don't want – I like some of Steven Spielberg movies were absolute classics. Not all of them were like, oh, I need to see this Steven Spielberg. Like, I didn't see the Abraham Lincoln, Daniel Day-Lewis movie.
You didn't?
Now, you watched that?
No, but I thought you would.
No, I'm not. Dude, I have a life. Come on. but I mean, I'm a fan of Steven Spielberg, and I'm sure it'll be a big hit. I mean, anything with his name attached, that just sells films. The guy's, he's a legend. All right, Dax, number three story.
Number three, Travis Kelce signed up for a new TV game show hosting gig. This is a big deal. It's going to be his first hosting of a game show, but he's going to be doing the Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? So obviously a spinoff of the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, where it's going to be all celebrities sitting in the classroom and someone coming in to see if they can beat the smartness of celebrities. So he's been named the official host and is going to be on Prime Video. And he is very, very excited about it. He said, I grew up loving game shows and I'm excited to be following in the footsteps of so many TV icons by hosting my very first one with Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? He said the original show is a great success. So bringing a new format with everyone's favorite celebrities to the screen will definitely be entertaining. And I can tell that they over at Prime Video and Amazon, they're very excited for him. You know, he's got a huge personality. And I think that he will attract a lot of celebrities to come in. He's going to attract a big audience to be watching. Lauren Anderson, who's the head of the original Unscripted and Targeted program over at Amazon, had said Travis has proven to be an incredible talent on and off the field. And his natural comedic dynamic with our panelists and guests, coupled with some exciting new twists, will keep our global customers coming back. I think he's a great choice. Honestly, he comes across as really, really fun to me. So I think this is awesome for him.
Listen, it's a fair gig. Am I happy about it? Because he's, you know, because he's a football player. Now he's going to, I get it. And I think he's going to do a great job at it. Will Taylor appear on the show? Taylor, there's no shot Taylor appears on the show. She does not want someone to look smarter than a celebrity. You know, we don't want to find out how.
Dude, Taylor, I feel like has changed a lot in the last year. With being here with him, she comes across way more fun. She comes across as like a lot more down to earth, like her hanging out in the crowds at Coachella. Like, I think they complement each other so well that who knows, man. And if she appears on the show, it's like instant season two. You know what I'm saying? They have approved a 20 episode season. And I think if she was to make an appearance or she goes, yeah, I'll come back. I'll come on next season. They would green light an entire season just to have her on. Like,
yeah.
And she, out of anyone on the planet, no one would look down on her for going on this show because her boyfriend hosts it.
True. But if she doesn't come off intelligent, it's not going to be the best.
You think he's going to let them make her look bad on that show? No one is going to make her look bad.
That's part of the rules if she were to come on. But, yeah, well, oh my God, Taylor Swift somehow is the smartest celebrity in Hollywood. She knows everything. This is not set up. This is not fake. I am curious the stars that are going to get on the show. I mean, Travis is probably going to reach out to people and see if they'll come on. I think a lot of people want to be attached to Travis because of the Taylor relationship. Yeah. So it's good for business. It's
I think they're going to get, they will get huge names just because of all of it. And he's,
they'll one get of like the, Paul Rudd on. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they'll get everybody. It, I think it'll do well just because of him and his connection with Taylor, and their love story is fascinating to a lot of people.
I wonder how many episodes they're going to shoot in a day, because if it's a 20 episode season, they might shoot 4 episodes in a day to shoot, banging out within like 5 days of shooting. You know, they shoot, dude, you know, they.
Do you know how tiring that would be? Like we do sometimes we do two episodes of this podcast and I'm like, I need a break. How would you do 4 episodes?
Dax, not for nothing. I did host a shitty game show for a little bit. And I did have a game show for a little bit, and we shot 8 episodes a day.
No, are you serious?
Yeah, we did. We would do 16 in a weekend. I would do 8 on Saturday, 8 on Sunday.
Holy crap. And how did you keep up your energy by show 8?
I think it was like adrenaline, to be honest with you. It was adrenaline. And there's a lot of like memorization. I had to like remember the scripts and stuff like that, of like mm-hmm. places where we shot. And yeah, we did 8 on a Saturday, 8 on a Sunday. Yeah, it was pretty insane. Even to keep my voice going for that. But I think it was more like the adrenaline. I would change my outfit every episode and it would be a quick change. And I wasn't mm-hmm. even like, I didn't have like make, I didn't even have makeup. I would yeah. like, it was just like quick change my shirt. And yeah, I would do 8 Saturday, 8 Sunday. Pretty insane. Now, do you have respect for me? No? Okay. No,
I remember being very jealous that you were doing that and I wasn't invited to do it.
Oh, trust me. It was.
yeah, but back then I was like, damn, how did he get the hosting gig and I didn't? I remember being very jealous.
Yeah, and look where you're at. Now you're in a business with Mark Cuban, and I'm sitting on a floor in front of a couch in an apartment. So don't worry. Things worked out for you, Dax. Don't worry. All right, number 2.
Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan still in the midst of their big divorce dispute over the Magic Mike money. And now it is headed to court. Basically, it's been 6 years since they announced they were splitting, but the divorce still isn't settled. There's a lot of money at stake here regarding the Magic Mike film series. And basically, Jenna is trying to prove that all the Magic Mike intellectual property was developed during their marriage. And so they're going to court over this whole financial matter. And Dewan's lawyers claim that she is still entitled to earnings from the lucrative franchise, noting that they were developed and co-franchised by Tatum during their marriage, which would make it community property. And that he used marital funds to fund the movie, which in turn means she would have some right to the profits of the movie and stuff. So they haven't been able to figure this out during, you know, behind the scenes in their divorce. So it got to the point where now they have to present this in front of a judge to get some kind of closure. And he, you know, he's been saying, nope. This everything was done after the divorce. She is saying, no, it was done during their marriage. So they've been fighting for it for quite a while. And I think a lot of money is on the line here, because you got to remember Magic Mike earned about $167 million globally for the first one. And then the final installment grossed $57 million. And he was a producer on it. He was like a part of the whole thing, the big star. So that being said, she could look at millions of dollars, and she has nothing to lose at this point, because if the judge decides, no, you don't have any right to it, I mean, she loses out on lawyer's fees. If the judge does agree, she could walk away with millions of dollars. So I think that it is worth it for her to go to court and fight this to see, hey, is there anything that she could get out of this?
Do you think they dislike each other?
So I didn't think they disliked each other, but this makes me think they dislike each other. But again, it's money. You know what I'm saying? So they may be totally fine with each other. They may co-parent fine, but this is one thing they're like, we don't agree on. So like, we need to have someone else figure that out for us. Have a judge finally say yes or no, so we can move on with our lives. I thought that they were fine, but I mean, money can make people really hate each other quickly too.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll find out if they really do hate each other. It's just interesting when two celebrities of that magnitude, of that size, just have a little bit of beef. But I mean, again, this is something they probably don't want out there, but it's, you know, it's a public record. It's a public story. So yeah, sucks for them, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. Dax, the number one story of the week is pretty much just Coachella took in, you know, it took over algorithms this past week. Coachella was just everywhere. So just a quick recap of what someone missed at Coachella.
So many stars, so many things that happened. We did discuss a little bit of it on Wednesday with Du from Dumois. But there's a lot of stuff we didn't cover on Wednesday as well. And so we just want to make sure people saw this stuff. Obviously, Taylor and Travis staying out in the crowd for Ice Spice and Bleacher Set was a big story from the weekend. Paris Hilton came out to play Cornhole with Vampire Weekend. And Grimes had a big old meltdown while her performance was going on. She was DJing and it was like, it was skipping. She was stopping down. She was screaming. She was cussing. I think she was pretty embarrassed about how her set went. She basically said, I will never, ever again have those kind of problems. Will Smith came out in his black Ray-Bans to perform Men in Black. Suzuki Waterhouse used her set to reveal the gender of her baby with Robert Pattinson, which I don't even remember. Was it a boy or a girl?
We let the baby. It's 2024, Dax. We let the baby decide which sex they are. So we don't let the parents choose the gender. We're not. That's not.
You're an idiot. Shakira came out at one point to announce that she's doing a world tour. I love Shakira, dude. She's crazy. She's so good.
She's cool.
Justin Bieber was there. He got a lot of press for just kind of showing up all weekend, being spotted kind of everywhere. Kesha came out at one point, did a surprise appearance, and basically started TikTok by changing the lyrics to "I wake up in the morning, fuck P. Diddy." And so clearly putting out a statement there.
She knew she was going to get some clicks over that. She knew she was going to get a buzz from that.
100%. Lauryn Hill surprised the Coachella audience when she joined her son, YG Marley. And then Wyclef Jean came out and they did a Killing Me Softly, Ready or Not, and played a bunch of songs. But that was Fuji's reunion is a big deal. Obviously, Praz was not there. He's locked up. But No Doubt came out. They performed, which everyone was talking about. I think that might have been the performance that got the most buzz. Would you agree? Because No Doubt hasn't been on stage together in like 20 years. So them coming out, performing Hella Good, Just a Girl, Don't Speak, Spiderwebs, Olivia Rodrigo joined them to perform Bathwater. I don't know. I felt like there was a lot. Maybe it was just my feed, but a lot of people freaking out about them performing.
Yeah, a lot of surprise appearances like Bieber, like you said, Will Smith and the Shakira. So it's cool to see those people like pop in and do a song. Is it worth all the money and time going out to the desert? Probably not. I wonder, there should be an age cutoff. When you see Leo still at Coachella, like Leo, do you really need to be at Coachella? But then when you see the young girls there that are his like demographic, like, oh, I understand why you need to be at Coachella.
That's his way of dating, dating.
It's one of those exactly. It's one of those things where I know some people that go like every year, and then every year they're like, all right, that's my last one. Like it's one of those things where like they feel like they have to go because it's part of the scene, but they don't like. Typically, they don't like it, or it's just like it's just part of the. It's like a stop on your media tour. You need to kind of be there and show face. Coachella obviously takes over the algorithm. This past week.
To continue, Billie Eilish showed up to perform with Lana Del Rey. I think Doja Cat had all of her weirdness going on, which is awesome because that's just her thing. She was out walking around in like a furry bikini. She had like Sasquatches dancing on stage at one point. she had a long blonde wig, then she had short blonde hair. I mean, she's just fascinating to watch, which I think is why people love her so much, because she is a true performer. Like, she reminds me a lot of when Lady Gaga first came out, and you can't take your eyes off of them. Like, that's it's pure entertainment to have like a performer like that. Like, she is not boring. The opposite of boring, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. All right, Dax, that is the top 10 stories of the week. That's our Raw rundown. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you guys like and subscribe. If you're listening, I just want to give you a hug. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for helping us out. Please make sure you keep the reviews coming. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram. We also have a private Facebook group called Off the Record, where you guys can ask us questions. We talk to you. It's a really, really fun community. Follow me at Adam Glynn. Follow Dax Holt at Dax Holt. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
A Huda Media Production.